Our next three readings will come from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed."
Briefly tonight, we're going to think about this simple question. Are you ready to die? Because I'm not. Because you see, there's plenty I want to see. I wonder if you've seen this. It's a New York Times bestseller, 100 places to see before you die. Well, I can tell you one of them is simply London, so we can all tick that off our list. I looked through, and in my 43 years on planet Earth so far, I worked out that I have seen about 50 of these places, which means that at my current rate of progress, I need to live to the age of 860 to see them all before I die, which is not encouraging. Now, let me ask you again, have you seen all you need to see before you die? Now, you might be wondering, why are we asking this question at a Christmas carol service? Although if you were listening, as Luke writes the historical account of the events of that first Christmas, that in fact is precisely the issue he wants us to be considering. Because as we just heard read, soon after the birth of Jesus, his parents, Mary and Joseph, took him to the temple in Jerusalem, where they met this man named Simeon. Now, we're not told Simeon's age, but it seems clear that death is not too far away for him. And yet it's clear Simeon is going to die a happy man because of what he has seen. And it's not because of a place, not something like that he's ticked off his bucket list. What Simeon has seen is a person. And in fact, that person is the babe he is at that moment cradling in his arms. Now, London is determined to enjoy this festive season. I discovered recently that Winter Wonderland in Hyde Park is expecting 3 million visitors. Now, that is staggering, although if you've been, you will believe it. For most of those visitors, the festivities are great fun, but have little to do with Jesus Christ. I guess some of them may take in a carol service. They'll enjoy the rousing renditions of their favourite songs, mulled wine and mince pie or two. But that's about it. Beyond that, they don't really see the difference that this baby could make. That one in Simeon's arms. I mean, busy lives in 21st century London. And to say that this is the must-see before you die is simply incomprehensible. So let's think, why does Simeon think differently? What is it that he sees? Well, look with me there at verse 26. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 26. We heard it read. That says, "It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The Lord's Christ. You see, in Simeon's day, the Old Testament scriptures, like Isaiah, which we heard read earlier, had generated great hopes because God had promised that he would one day intervene decisively and definitively into world history by sending this Christ figure. The rest of the Old Testament fills out the portrait of this remarkable person. He would speak and act in amazing ways. He would reveal God to the world, and as the expectation built, it becomes clear that in the end, this would have to be no less than God himself in our world. And so as Simeon took baby Jesus in his arms, he could see with his own eyes, God has kept his promises. This is the Lord's Christ. But many today would be cynical, of course, at that. It was only a baby. I mean, how could Simeon know that was the Lord's Christ? And Luke, as he writes his gospel account, knows that we are going to need persuading. So as you can see in your hands, there are a further 22 more chapters describing for us the life and times of Jesus. And a little later in Luke's gospel, the grown-up Jesus himself is asked this question: "Are you the one who was to come, or shall we look for another?" And here's Jesus' striking response: "Go and tell what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Last week, a letter written by Albert Einstein shortly before his death went up for auction in New York, and it sold for over £2 million. And in this letter, Einstein wrote that all religions are, quote, "an incarnation of primitive superstition." It seems ironic he speaks of incarnation. Anyway, Einstein goes on to write that, quote, "The Bible is a collection of honourable but still primitive legends, which are nevertheless pretty childish." Which I think we would have to ask with respect, has Einstein actually ever read the New Testament Gospels? Have you read Luke as an adult? It simply doesn't read like legend. You'll find that in his narrative, Luke records historical details like people and places, times and events. And there are clearly eyewitnesses, sometimes numbering into the thousands, who could verify what Jesus said and did. Last night, I was walking through the city. I was right in front of the cathedral when two gentlemen approached me and one asked earnestly, "Excuse me, could you tell us where we might find St. Paul's Cathedral?" And they thought this was hilarious. They rolled around laughing because, of course, the point was it was right there, right in front of us. How ridiculous. And yet, at Christmas time, many are still asking, is there a God? How can we know? And Luke has written his historical evidence for us so that we will use our rational, scientific minds to go where the evidence leads, to realize there is no other coherent explanation for who Jesus is. He must be the Lord's Christ. So please do take away this copy of Luke's Gospel. Please do read it. Ask maybe others that you know questions about it. Come to your own conclusion. You'll see what Simeon saw. Jesus must be the Lord's Christ. But so what? So what? We are still, going back to our original question, going to die. What difference does any of this make anyway? The 41st US President, George H.W. Bush, died a couple of weeks ago. And on the day of his death, his friend James Baker, formerly US Secretary of State, paid him a visit. And when he came in, it's told that Bush suddenly grew alert. His eyes were wide open. He saw his friend and asked him, "Where are we going, Bake?" The response, "We're going to heaven." "That's where I want to go," Bush said. And then at Bush's funeral last week, his son, George W. Bush, concluded his eulogy like this: "We're going to miss you, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is holding Mom's hand again." It's a homely picture, isn't it? Bush Sr. in heaven, reunited with his wife of 73 years, Barbara. Those are soothing words to comfort the dying and the grieving. But I wonder how many of us may be watching that on TV thought, but they are deluded words with no basis in reality. Maybe Dylan Thomas, we might feel, expresses better how we should face death in his best-known poem. "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Listen to what Simeon says down there in verse 29. "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Now Simeon knew that death was wrong, deeply wrong, and yet he was ready. He was facing it with confidence. And why was that? Well, again, because of what he had seen. Look on to verse 30. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." So where did Simeon see this salvation? Well, again, in his arms. Jesus, the Lord Christ, who had come to rescue. But what kind of salvation could this baby bring? And again, what kind of relevance could that have for us in 21st century London? Well, Simeon has already told us the answer there in verse 29 when he says, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace." You see, by peace there, Simeon doesn't simply mean that he was now reconciled to the idea of death, that he was no longer raging at the dying of the light. By peace, Simeon doesn't mean that his affairs were now in order with his nearest and dearest taken care of. No, by peace, what Simeon does mean is that he knew that he was now at peace with his Creator. Again, the response today, I guess, to that would be, well, big deal. If there is a God, and that's a very big if, we might think, I'll be fine. Okay, so I've left him alone for the last few years. Life's been so busy. Might not have had that much contact, but it'll be fine. When we see each other, we'll pick it up again. Have you seen the Netflix show, The Good Place, with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson? If you've missed it, it's starting tonight on E4, if you want to see it. But the premise of that show is that life here on Earth is about earning enough points to make it in the end to the good place rather than the bad place. And in the show, there's big plus points for donating blood, for giving to charity, for helping an old person with their printer. But you will lose points, not only for genocide and theft, but also if you make a noise in the cinema or if you use Facebook as a verb. Don't do that. Now, The Good Place is a comedy, quite clearly, and yet it does reveal our underlying assumptions. And those assumptions come to the fore, I think, in a funeral. What is it that everyone feels they have to say about the deceased? They were a good person. Somehow, we do still think that that matters. Well, look again at Simeon, verse 25. Luke told us he was righteous and devout. Here he is in the temple. So if destiny depended on racking up these points, Simeon would be at the front of the queue for the good place. But Simeon knows it doesn't work like that. You remember what we've heard him say there in verse 30? My eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon knew that he, of all people, needed rescue. Because Simeon knew that he had turned his back on his Creator. Even though God gave life and breath and everything else, Simeon knew he lived as if he had known better himself. However respectable Simeon looked on the outside, and he was, and looked very respectable, he knew that in his heart he did not want God to be God. There was no peace between God and Simeon. And Simeon knew that, therefore, what he deserved was to die. And each of us have done just the same. The way we have treated our Maker. Please don't take my word for it. Jesus himself, later in Luke, says, no one is good. What we need, like Simeon, is this rescue. But how? Well, as Simeon is clearly looking at the baby Jesus, so we are meant to keep looking at him. And of course, Jesus grew up, and he lived the life we have failed to lead. A remarkable man of the most amazing character. He always listened to his heavenly Father. He always trusted him, always obeyed him. And yet, where did his life lead? It was all planned right from the start. Look down to verse 35. Simeon tells Mary right here that a sword will pierce through her own soul also. Simeon knew that Jesus would be opposed and that that would lead as far as to death on a cross. But this tells us that wasn't a mistake. In fact, that was God's loving plan. You see, Jesus died the death that others, like Simeon, like us, deserve. Jesus died in their place, in our place. And remember, if you go to the end of Luke, you'll hear these words. We've thought of the dying words of Simeon, but Jesus, as he was breathing his last, on the cross next to him was a criminal. And you could read this later in Luke 23. Jesus says these words to him. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, you can dismiss the dying words of an American president if you want to. But would you do the same to the dying words of the Lord's Christ? Or have we realized that Jesus is speaking the truth, that as that guilty criminal turned and looked at Jesus and trusted him, he had the most glorious future ahead? And that because of that death on the cross, Simeon really could depart in peace. And so for us, because of that death on the cross, whoever we are, whatever our past, whatever our present, we can know this lasting peace with God. Luke wrote this account about Simeon to challenge us to respond to this birth of the baby in Bethlehem. Now, in London, I think we are experts, aren't we, at putting things off. Any Spurs fans? Is your stadium ready yet that was meant to be for the start of the season? Still not ready. Crossrail. We're meant to be enjoying Crossrail now through central London. The launch date has just been delayed yet again. Or my favourite, even this week in Parliament. Do you know when that Brexit vote was cancelled? Officially, the relevant debate was postponed until tomorrow. Did you know, apparently, that is parliamentary speak for at some point in the future, maybe never. In Parliament, tomorrow never comes. Except, of course, it does. For us, as for Simeon, death is approaching. Well, are we ready? Have we seen what we really need to see? Remember what Simeon saw in his arms. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation.